Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, as you know, Steven Bench, as we talked about at the end of the show yesterday, decided he wanted to transfer. He met with Bill O'Brien on Tuesday. He made the decision to transfer after that, and then it was announced yesterday. Because he's transferring now, he can go to any school he wishes, and he is eligible to play this season. Penn State's going to be operating in the high upper 60s this year with scholarships. I think it's 68 or 69. So they're only going to be four above that 65 limit, which they have to be down to next year. And then they stay at 65 for four straight years. Again, as I pointed out when all of this began, this is a six-year sanction. This is not four. Last year there was no bowl game, no Big Ten championship shot. This year there's no bowl game, no Big Ten championship shot. Next year it's 65 with everything in place. 15, 65, everything in place. You can go to a bowl game and compete for the Big Ten championship in 16, but you're at 65 scholarships. And at 17, you're at 65 scholarships, but you can still go to a bowl game. So in 16 and 17, you go to bowl games, but you have to be at 65 scholarships. So this is a six-year sanction, which I've tried to point out everybody who understands. A six-year sanction. It's one down, five to go. So Bench is allowed to transfer to any school he wishes that has room, obviously, and he can play right away. He could play on August 31st for another school and be the starting quarterback. Now, for Penn State, we know, obviously, that Tyler Ferguson, Austin Whipple, DJ Crook are here. Coming in late June will be Christian Hackenberg, along with a run-on named Jack Seymour, who had turned down several MAC scholarship opportunities to walk on here. So that's the story. That's the story. That's the situation. Met on Tuesday, and announced yesterday's transferring, and we wish him the best. But he can go anywhere he wishes as long as they have room, and he can play right away. So there's your story. Our number 1-800-795-9565, the Hilscher's General Store hotline, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. They're 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. I am in the Sunbury Motor Studio, safely ensconced and away from the wrath that is the Kevin temper, as each Philly continues to fail and he continues to get madder and madder.
No, actually, the Phil scored one at the bottom of the eighth, so now it's only 6-4.
Yeah, well, still behind.
Yep.
And the Sunbury Motors Studio is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, this is Thursday. And since it is Thursday, that means we are brought to you by this entire show by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. I'm joined by Kevin Herr, the voice of the fan.
Yeah, and right now it's very boisterous and complaining because it's just 1-0 lead going into the top of the sixth inning, give up a run. Phils get two more in the bottom of the sixth. Not a bad, 3-1. Then they give up five in the next two innings. Guess if the bullpen was in the seventh and eighth, or if it was the starter.
Well, in the seventh, it was the starter.
Right. But guess what happened in the eighth? Bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
Yeah. They threw 45 pitches, and 22 of them were strikes.
Game over.
What are you complaining about?
What? Three runs in the eighth?
They have six hits today, but they're really good ones. Ryan Howard's driven in a couple runs today. A big day.
Yeah, well, sooner or later he's going to earn a paycheck.
Gabby Sanchez is homered. He's driven in three runs today. Garrett Jones pinch hitting. Great move by Clint Hurdle. Knocked in a run. You're just a bitter guy. Dave and Sunbury will jump in and tame this bitterness.
Well, I'm going to try.
You go for it, Dave.
Well, first of all, I'm calling and falling behind my cousin, Dave.
Yeah.
And I disagree with him, and I agree with you as far as roughly who the Eagles are going to take in their first pick.
Well, I think they're going with an offensive tackle, and I think it's going to depend on who's there at four, whether it's Luke Jokel or Eric Fisher or Lane Johnson of Oklahoma. Well, and I think one of those three will end up being a Philadelphia Eagle.
Well, my speculation is Lane Johnson, because the other two will already be gone.
Well, if they're gone, they're gone, and that would be right. And I think it would be Lane Johnson, and that's what you have to worry about. Meanwhile, Kevin, I keep telling him, pick Jarvis Jones, and he wants to trade down. He thinks Jones is going to be available in the fifth round.
Well, I was just going to tell Kevin about, they were also looking at Ogilvie, and he's got more of a problem as far as flares going off than Jarvis Jones, because of he's got a background in the Georgia that he was actually arrested by police and had to trying to get that taken care of.
Oh, I talked about that yesterday. I said that's another problem, is to keep him out of prison.
Yeah, but not Jones, but the other guy.
Right.
Ogilvie.
Right. Now, yeah. I think if Jones isn't there, they probably look toward maybe Corner and Rhodes. What? What are you chuckling about?
You're so much fun.
Yeah.
You really are.
Well, I was going to call in yesterday because they have a new commercial with Maxwell.
Oh, Maxwell the pig?
Yeah, the one with the lady girl that... The hail that does the damage to his her boyfriend's car, and Maxwell gets the taken care of by Tuesday by 5 o'clock, and he has a same damage done in his car.
Right.
And I was gonna do we, but I'm no longer calling in and doing we, because he's such a bitter person.
Well, I've tried, Kevin's taken the entire concept of we, and he's changed it from French to mean yes to something else.
Listen, well, we've been talking about the Phillies here. You notice I have not said we lately on that one.
Oh, off the air you have.
Yeah. What, PU?
Dave, I wish we recorded the off-air segments and played them back.
Oh, I'm glad we don't.
The ratings would go up exponentially. You're like, wow, get a load of this dude. He asks all the time, when did I stop being a fan? He asks me that all the time. It's moments such as these where the balance between us where he gets emotionally invested, and I can kind of step back and go, well, now what about this, this, and this? I think it gives the show some balance.
Well, I understand that because I have a brother who, when things, you know, emotionally get him going, that he does along the Kevin line because he takes it personal. And there's somewhere where you just got to move on.
Kevin acts as if Charlie Manuel does these things to make Kevin mad.
I think he does. I really think he does.
Well, Kevin, I have a little suggestion for you. Remember you had the draft and you were going to be a general manager?
Right. Right.
You know the only reason you wanted that for? No, Steve, you know the only reason he wanted that?
Why was that?
So when his fantasy thing that he can pick the players that he wants to set it up for his fantasy league.
It's all about me.
I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the show.
Thank you, Dave. All right, we have the draft. Okay, we have the draft look at the two guys that are being considered to be the top pick, unless Kansas City trades it, and that door is still open.
Yeah, the first one. You mentioned Luke being the first pick for the Eagles.
Luke Jokel. No, I mean, he might be the first pick in the draft. Here's Luke Jokel.
Luke Jokel, left tackle, Texas A&M, 6'6", 306 pounds. Jokel did not miss a game in three seasons with the Aggies, culminating his career with the Outland Trophy, which goes to the nation's top interior lineman. He was a starter from day one in College Station, something he's expected to do in the NFL as well. Jokel mixes near-flawless fundamentals with prototypical size for the blind side and top-notch athleticism, a combination as many predicting multiple Pro Bowls.
Okay. Multiple Pro Bowls. That's a projection. Multiple Pro Bowls.
That's a nice projection.
I mean, that's one heck of a projection right there. Now, the other guy in all this happens to be Eric Fisher of Central Michigan.
Eric Fisher, left tackle, Central Michigan, 6'7", 306. Some scouts and personnel men think Fisher has the highest ceiling of any left tackle in this draft. He had no problem with Iowa or Michigan State pass rushers during his senior season. Fisher then impressed in the offseason at the Senior Bowl, the scouting combine, and in his pro day. He is athletic and a fiery competitor, although some think he could add some strength in the weight room. The obvious comparison is to fellow Chippewa and current 49er Joe Staley, a 2007 first rounder and 2012 Pro Bowler.
Joe Staley played against Penn State when he was at Central Michigan. So there you go.
So, who's
are the top two picks.
Well, who's the overall first pick? Because, again, that's been well debated. And Fisher is one of the guys that may go first overall to Kansas City.
Look, if I'm doing this thing, I'm going with Luke Jokel. I think he is the smart, safe pick, where I think he steps in right away, plays right away, and I pick him first overall. If my need happens to be an offensive lineman, which Kansas City's is, that's who I'd go with.
I mean, I can't think of a draft, well, at least in the last maybe 5 years, where you haven't felt really comfortable if you're trying to do a mock draft who the number one overall pick is.
I still say it's Jokel. I say it's him. To me, Fisher brings, they've been talking about his upside, this, that, and the other thing about Joe Staley. Okay, I remember Joe Staley playing against Penn State when they played Central Michigan. They had no trouble with Joe Staley. I mean, they did whatever they wanted with Central Michigan. All right. These guys are different in some ways. Jokel, to me, is a very safe, smart, steady pick. Will be productive for he's a better known entity as to what he can do, I think, projecting to the next level. So I go with him. And then after that, who knows? I mean, part of this is that You don't have a dominant quarterback in this draft. And this will be the first draft since 2000, I think since Chad Pennington was picked, where you don't have a quarterback taken in the top three. You're probably not going to have a first-round pick of a running back. A lot of people think Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State actually is grading on higher than Eddie Lacy of Alabama.
So let's say you like Jarvis Jones for the Steelers. We'll take some of the area teams here and the popular teams and look at that. You said you like Jarvis Jones as a first overall pick for the Steelers. What if he's not there?
Mm-hmm. What if he's not there?
What if he's not there?
Oh, I would trade down and get rid of guys.
No, no, you wouldn't. I would
be choosing them between... between Rhodes, a corner, and Tyler Eifert of Notre Dame.
Well, I was thinking Rhodes as well.
Xavier Rhodes, cornerback, Florida State, 6'2", 210. Rhodes, a first-team All-AC selection in 2012, has 8 interceptions over the last 3 seasons after arriving in Tallahassee as an offensive player. The Miami native is big and strong and athletic. He is a physical presence at the line of scrimmage and can follow a receiver down the field as well. However, penalties have been an issue and Rhodes lacks true top-end speed. Still, some consider him the best corner in this draft.
Not encouraging. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's your draft. But Tyler Eifert would be another guy I would take a long look at tight end. Again, I am not, you know, age comes into this as well. Heath Miller was arguably one of the top two tight ends in the entire NFL when he went down with an injury. His injury was not an Adrian Peterson injury. Far more severe. Far more severe. So, I mean, that's one I would consider. I would consider that. At some point, they're going to have to draft a wide out down the road. And they're going to have to somewhere in here draft a wide out. They're going to have to draft probably a safety. They need an outside linebacker at some point. They're going to have to really spread the wealth in this draft. We will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here at REW Financial, we strive every day to bring the best opportunities to the table to enhance your financial future in a comfortable, no-pressure environment. We know the importance of gaining and keeping the highest level of trust from you, our community of clients and friends. We are in Brook Park Farm, Lewisburg. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us at rewfinancial.com. REW Financial, empowering freedom, one family at a time.
Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra 4-door GLS 15943. A 2012 Hyundai Veloster 16899. A 2008 Ford Ranger 2-door Super Cab 17995. 2010 Chevy Equinox 4-wheel drive LTZ 24998. And a 2011 Ford Explorer 4-door XLT just 26998.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
So he says to me during the break, he says, look, you have to talk about the Jets. I said, I did talk about the Jets. He said, when? He said, when I mentioned that Tavon Austin was high on their radar and maybe the guy that they pick, right? And he said, well, when did you do that? I said, when you were screaming at the TV about the Phillies.
Probably true. Here's the 411.
Tavon Austin, West Virginia, wide receiver, 5'9", 174.
Turns on the Jets, 25, goes to a scene, 35. He's at the 40, to the 45. There he goes! The 40 of Marshall, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, end zone! Touchdown,
Tavon Austin, 100 yards.
There is no more electric player in this draft than Mountaineer wideout Tavon Austin. The three-time All-Big East selection is an elite athlete that explodes off the line of scrimmage. Working as a slot receiver and occasional running back, Austin led the nation with 198 all-purpose yards per game last season. Obviously, his small frame raises durability concerns, but many teams have fallen in love with Austin's game-breaking ability.
Including the New York Jets, very much into what's going on. The Jets are with, look, they feel they need to get more game breakers in the offense, and that's what they need. You know, and I think Austin is the kind of guy that will help them out. But again, look at Manti Te'o possibly going to the Bears. That Cleveland really likes Geno Smith, so scratch any Ryan Mallett trade. Tyler Eifert possibly going to Carolina. Tavon Austin, I think, going to the Jets. Now, the Raiders have the third overall pick. There's been a lot of talk they would take Sharif Floyd from Florida State. Penn State wanted him badly, could not get him. The Raiders may trade down. They really like, for example, the Raiders really like DJ Hayden of Houston. I like him as well. I mean, I've seen Hayden in person. Because Penn State played them in a bowl game, and I've seen D. Milner, and Hayden is not in the same class as Milner. Just isn't. And I think Milner, I think, is just a great corner. I mean, you know, you could stick him in the sub package right away, and it's going to be he'll be a plus. So those are some of the rumors going in. And again, the big rumor now is that Eric Fisher is going to be the first pick. I'd take Luke Joeckel. And the Eagles have zeroed in on Lane Johnson. And expect the first quarterback to go in the Bills pick. Now, whom that is, I don't know. You know Ryan Nassib was his quarterback at Syracuse.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. Phone lines open, 800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store.
I'm going to have to stop down there after the seeing that Phillies debacle there this afternoon. I may have to stop down there for comfort food.
I got a lot of candy bars there. It should be just fine.
They have that nice little tasty cake thing there that they make. I think I should. That's a comfort food for me after another Phillies loss. It was really nice, though. Buzz called in from Northumberland and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know the Phillies lost." I said, "Yeah, I saw that." He goes, "Sorry." I said, "I'm getting used to it."
Well, okay, this is what I'm thinking tonight. I'm thinking that Geno Smith goes off the board as the first quarterback and that he goes to the Cleveland Browns. They're going to go.
Geno Smith, quarterback, West Virginia, 6'3", 218 pounds.
Geno Smith is ready. Snap is back. He wants to throw. Blitz comes. He steps up in the pocket, fires in the end zone. Ball is caught. Stedman Bailey, touchdown, West Virginia.
Unlike last year with Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, there is no sure thing under center at the top of this draft. Smith, though, at the top of the class after posting gaudy numbers in Dana Holgorsen's Mountaineer offense, but just how much that system helped his numbers is the question with Smith. The offense also meant too much time in the shotgun for scouts' liking. However, Smith possesses NFL-caliber size, mobility, and arm strength.
You know, that was one of the big knocks on Alex Smith when he came out of Utah. They said he did so much in the shotgun, they didn't know how good he was. Of course, now he's with Kansas City. Do you have one for Arthur Brown from Kansas State?
Arthur Brown? I don't think so, but hang on, I'll take a gander here quick.
He's another guy the Steelers would consider in the one slot.
I do not.
That's a shame. You know, you'll have to read up on him. All right, let's see. What? And I think I think the Bills are going to be the team that takes Matt Barkley and not Ryan Nassib.
Uh-huh.
I think Tank Carradine goes to the Giants. I know that, for example, our good friend Rick Weibel saying, what about the Saints? Well, I think Kenny Vaccaro from Texas, the safety. Yeah.
Aren't you just pulling them out of air there?
What? What do you think? I walk into the show not ready to go?
So give me your quarterback picks in order. Where do they? How do they go in the draft? How do you think they'll go?
Quarterback picks in the draft.
I mean, basically, what Wilson, Smith. I mean, how do you think they'll go?
Well, I think Smith's the first guy that goes. I think Smith's the first guy that goes. I think Barkley's the second guy that goes. We really do. Yeah, I think that, that's how I look at it.
Is this...
The Barkley thing is interesting because they've just like this negative, that negative. Hey, you know what? I think the guy actually can play. I really do. I think he'll get better coaching at this level compared to the guy he had. And we'll go from there. But, you know, I look at... You know, the Wilson from Arkansas is kind of an interesting pick.
What about the kid from NC State?
You know what? I'll be frank with you. I think Mike Lennon was a decent college quarterback. He never lit me up watching him play. Never.
Does he hold the ball too long?
The ball too long. I don't like his mobility. I always felt, you know, the part about, you know, Russell Wilson leaving. I mean, I thought Tom O'Brien made a real mistake there with that. And look, the ACC is a good college football conference, but it's not a great college football conference. I'll tell you right now, a guy that bears a lot of watching is EJ Manuel. EJ Manuel may be a little erratic at times. Okay, he may be a little erratic at times, but he is a big guy at 6'5", big arm. I like his throwing motion a lot. Gets that thing back at the ear and he snaps it. Glennon winds up a little bit more. But E.J. Manuel, whomever drafts him, is going to get a really good, solid quarterback in E.J. Manuel. Well, I would take Barkley before Nassib, by the way, obviously.
Well, I think they're going to have to sit with Manuel and help him read a little bit better, make some better decisions when the pressure's on. I think that's one of knocks on him right now.
But they have to do that with all these guys. But you know what? When you look at all these guys, they all have that issue. Every one of them. I think, in fact, if I had to pick one guy that might be better at the pre-snap than post-snap, it's probably Barkley. I think Barkley probably has a better read on pre-snap than post-snap compared to the other guys.
How do you feel?
Nassib is odd. There are some people that have Nassib as the number one quarterback and that he would go to Buffalo. Okay? There are people that have Nassib as the number one guy that would go to Buffalo. They do. And he beat Smith, you know, three out of the four times that they played and so on and so forth. Nassib's a good quarterback. But there are some other people that have Nassib in the fourth round. I have never seen a quarterback have that kind of disparity on what people think of him. Some people have him as the number one guy and that Buffalo's going to take him with Doug Marrone, okay, in that spot there, and others have him in the fourth round.
Are there any running backs that we'll see go tonight?
No. No. Eddie Lacy.
I was going to say Lacy would probably be the closest.
Yeah, but neither one's going to go in the first round.
I think you'll see a lot of those tomorrow night, though.
Okay, there's been a lot of talk that the Bengals would take Eddie Lacy at 21. All right. which is a possibility. But I think the Bengals have an early pick in the second round, if I recall correctly, which I think they feel they can make it. They can still get him there. But the Bengals would be, when the Bengals come up at 21, that'll be the first time that you hear the possibility of a running back coming up on the board. All right.
Who's going to wear the new Jacksonville uniform first in the draft?
Oh, God.
Second pick.
Well, it's either going to be Fisher or Jokel, whomever. It's going to be one of the two, I think. There's a lot of talk that the Jags also like Ziggy Ansah from BYU, the defensive end. And, of course, Gus Bradley, the head coach for Jacksonville, loves defense. And he was the defensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks. There's been a lot of talk of Ziggy Ansah going there, but I think that there's also the possibility that whomever is the loser of the first pick, Fisher Jokel, goes in that number two hole. How about that?
Whoever's the loser of the first pick.
Well, I'm saying, you know, whomever isn't the guy will be the second pick in the draft. I mean, all, you know, as possibilities. But I think one of the more interesting guys in this draft that I think when he's drafted, I think the team eventually will like him a lot is Matt Barkley. Kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I watched Matt Barkley last year. His offensive line was mediocre at best. All right? Mediocre at best. And he's going to get in the NFL, and he is going to be, whomever gets him, especially if it's one of the early teams, that needs a quarterback, and Buffalo certainly needs one. He's going to face that kind of pressure. Doug in Wellsboro is with us. Hi, Doug.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you?
Hey, do you guys have any feeling what's going to happen with Michael Motti? Will someone take a late-round pick on him? Will he fall away to free agency, if that's possible? What do you think is going to happen with him?
I think somebody's going to draft him, to be frank with you, Doug. I think that when Saturday rolls around, I think the door is open for somebody to pick him, because if you recall last year, Johnny Trautman was selected by San Diego, and San Diego knew going into the draft that Trautman was hurt, and they still took him in the fourth round. I could see a team taking a flyer on Motti in rounds 5, 6, or 7 on Saturday because they see the potential in what he brings to the table instead of letting him loose as a free agent.
Do you think Hodges will go ahead of him?
Yes, Hodges will go ahead of him. Hodges is a third or fourth round pick. So Hodges will go ahead of him because Hodges has been able to work out for everybody, and Motti's, except for weightlifting, has not been able to do anything except to answer questions.
I heard you yesterday talk about Jordan Hill. It's obvious he can play, and the game tape speaks more than these measurables. I don't understand why he isn't rated higher. He can obviously play the game.
Well, I look at the guys that are rated higher than him. I saw Akeem Spence of Illinois rated 10th. Really? I saw a K'Wan Short of Purdue rated like 6th. I thought, okay, I'm still waiting to see that great game from K'Wan Short. Hankins I can live with because I think Hankins is a really good prospect out of Ohio State. But when I see Spence and Short rated ahead of Jordan Hill, I sit back and I say to myself, I've watched all of them play, and there wouldn't even be a discussion in the room as to who we take. There wouldn't if it's on the board between Short, Spence, and Hill, there is no discussion. I said guys were drafting Jordan Hill. Jordan Hill's a football player. The other guys are far too inconsistent. Hill is absolutely consistent.
Hey, the last thing I have a question on, how's Zach Zwinek's hand or arm? Is it okay?
Oh, he'll be ready for camp, so I'm not really all that concerned about it. It's a wrist, and it's okay. Not. Okay. Yeah, he should be fine.
Okay, thanks for your time today, guys.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WK. All right, who's the guy you want to see the Steelers take?
All right. Now, you know the fact that I'd love to see them trade the pick, okay? But if there's not a defensive player available that they like and that we've talked about here, this is who I'd like to see them pick.
Tyler Eifert, Notre Dame, junior tight end, 6'6", 250.
Wilson looks. Now another jump ball. Tyler Eifert comes down with the ball. Was he in? He was. Touchdown, Notre Dame.
Eifert has gone from a lightly recruited high school player to arguably the best tight end in this draft. He won the Mackey Award this winter after leading the Fighting Irish with 50 catches for 685 yards and 4 touchdowns. Soft-spoken off the field, Eifert was a team captain this past season and is a rugged player who makes catches in traffic and is a willing blocker. He could be bigger and faster, but Eifert reminds many of Steeler Heath Miller.
There you go.
No, I said that earlier.
I know you did.
All right, so
I know you did. Well, but here's the thing. I like Matt Spaeth. I really do. He's not Heath Miller. I think he's a good number two tight end. But if Miller is not able to come back this year, which, as you and I have talked about a few times, it's going to be rough. It would be nice to have somebody that has that kind of ability there. And I don't think Matt Spaeth is quite a Heath Miller. He's not going to be a go-to guy on third and long down the middle that is going to get the first down for you the way Heath Miller was. Did I lose you? I think I did. That whole thing, I kind of lost you on that. You're speechless now, aren't you? I made Steve Jones speechless. That doesn't happen very often. I'm enjoying this for a minute. But I do. I think Tyler Eifert, as they said in the feature there, I think he's very much like a Heath Miller, and I think he'll be a good addition. I just like his size. Well, you get a tight end that size, there's a lot of things you can do with that. But you're speechless now. You can't believe, you know, just...
I'm here. No, I've been listening to you ramble on. The draft will be exciting tonight because I will get multiple texts between now and the Steeler pick. Then I'll get analysis and text after the Steeler picks. And what he hates is I always send back one-word answers.
Yeah. They're usually sarcastic, too. You know, I may not watch the first hour. I may record it and watch it.
Why?
And watch it without all the over analysis and paralysis and wait 10 minutes for every pick.
Well, I think now, well, it's 10 minutes a pick, which is better than 15.
A lot better.
15. Yeah, but that one is 15 is brutal. I mean, it just took too long. And, you know, I missed a lot of drafts for years. Because a lot of times the draft took place on Saturday, and usually it was opposite the blue-white.
Yeah, because there were a lot of, I remember that very well.
Yeah, so, which is fine. I mean, that's, I thought that, I enjoy the fact they moved it back a week, and then they moved it to Thursday. I mean, I like that. You know, the round one at Thursday. You know, Dave called in earlier about the format that they're using. And I like the format.
Well, here's the one problem that it always caused. When you had everything in the first day and 15 minutes, at best, you got, what, 4 picks every hour. So if your team picked 27, you might as well not even watch it for 4 or 5 hours. If that's all you want to see is your team's picks.
And I used to come back from the blue-white game and actually pick up.
And you'd have half you'd be able to get half the draft in. But that's the thing. I like this now because of the fact that you could watch that first round, and they've picked up the pace of that first round a little bit more.
Well, I think they knew it. I think they understood that it was hurting the product. Look, when you've had months and months and months, do you need the extra 5 minutes? I mean, really?
I totally agree with that.
I mean, you don't need the extra 5 minutes. If you need the extra 5 minutes, then you really haven't done your homework. You got a whole board up there. You know where you're picking. You know certain guys are going to be off the board. Then, you know, every once in a while, just through pattern, somebody falls. Somebody wants to make a trade, move up, get somebody that they're worried might be taken before. And, you know, so you have changes like that, but it doesn't change that dramatically. You've had months and months of evaluation. The extra 5 minutes is going to really make a difference for you? Really? No. You know, at some point, you overthink it. The combine, by the way, is overthinking. You know, I don't mind that there's a combine. That doesn't bother me. You know, it's never bothered me there was a combine. Because I think there's certain things you want to get some measurables on some guys and so forth, you know, especially 40 times and reps and things like that. And, you know, throw them out there in some cones and work them out. Okay, fine. But after a while, you have to be able to throw a DVD in and go, oh, okay, football player. Got it. See, that's where, for example, Jordan Hill. You know, I was talking to Jordan Hill last week, and he says, you know, they keep telling me, he says, you know, about my height and so forth. The dude's a football player. Okay? They were talking about how Eric Fisher did a great job against the Iowa defensive ends. All right? So I was like, hey, you know, we play that back. He played well against Iowa. Remember that part?
Right.
Jordan Hill destroyed Iowa. We destroyed him. I mean, it's like, I mean, he almost took the whole state out. I mean, that's, to me, that's the measurable. You know, Travis Frederick considered to be, what, the third-rated center guard in this draft? Hey, Jordan Hill destroyed him. Quicker off the ball, you know, they talk about his height. Perfect. Okay, guess what a big part of this game is? It's leverage. Leverage is a big part of this game. Leverage means you get your pads underneath the other guy. Jordan Hill's already built that way. And he's quick off the ball. Now, he is not going to go tonight. There's an outside chance he goes tomorrow night. Outside chance. We'll see.
Yeah, see, that's what
Doug asked about Gerald Hodges. He will definitely be picked before Michael Motti. There's no doubt about that. And more rumors are now saying that Eric Fisher is going to be the number one pick.
And that's what I'm going to find interesting now as we go through tomorrow. One, and you could post these messages on our Facebook page, too. How much did you watch? Did you watch the whole thing, or did you watch just your team? And how much of the second round will you watch compared to the first?
I'll watch all of it both nights.
I'm sure you will.
I mean, but that's my entertainment factor.
Sure.
I like it. I enjoy watching the draft. So, I mean, I will watch both nights in their entirety.
It depends on who the Steelers pick in the first round, whether I watch the second.
Now, Saturday, I probably won't watch. Maybe bits and pieces.